Welcome to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Sunday, December 26th, although today is Monday, December 27th. I'm Bernadette.
And Lois.
And here is our first story.
Dubuque Man Leads a Fundraising Group by John Cruz. 100 men, $100 each. It's a simple goal for Cole Wagner, the 24-year-old director of 100 Plus Men Who Care, Tri-State Area. With 100 willing donations, Wagner and 99 other men interested in helping the community can make a substantial donation of $10,000 to a local nonprofit organization. Together, their collective small gestures go on to make a big difference. It's one of the easiest and most impactful ways to give back to local nonprofits, Wagner said. Our mission is to make it easy for people who want to help out the area. Since its founding in 2015, 100 Plus Men Who Care, Tri-State Area, has donated $250,000 to local nonprofits, one $10,000 check at a time. Every quarter, the group gathers to pool its donations, nominate local nonprofits it wishes to support, and vote on a winner. Most recently, the group held its quarterly meeting on Veterans Day and decided to donate $10,000 to the Veterans Freedom Center. I hadn't heard much about them, so it was a surprise, said Jim Wagner, co-founder and director of the center. We are using the money for Christmas for the veteran families that are having a tough time. Joe Liebfried, founder of the 100 Plus Men Who Care chapter, said he has been amazed at the interest and support the cause has garnered. We have been able to make such a big impact on the community, Liebfried said. It's been pretty neat to watch. And for the past 3 years, 100 Men Who Care has been led by Wagner, a young financial advisor with a strong desire to mature and grow the organization. Wagner made his first donation to the group when he was 20 years old, and he has been completely committed to its mission ever since. It's been an eye-opening experience, Wagner said. We have been able to connect with so many different organizations and have supported them. You learn that there are a humongous number of people who care about their neighbors. The organization is part of a growing movement of local young professionals seeking to collectively donate to nonprofits with chapters existing throughout the United States. There's also a local chapter of 100 Plus Women Who Care. Early on, Liebfried said 100 Plus Men Who Care, Tri-State Area, garnered widespread interest, quickly reaching the necessary 100 members to meet its $10,000 per quarter goal. However, in 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic threatened the organization, forcing it to cease holding quarterly meetings and creating additional challenges in collecting donations. Liebfried said it was Wagner's efforts that pulled the organization through the pandemic. The young director pushed to develop a website for the group and set up automatic payment methods for members. COVID could have negatively impacted the organization quite a bit, Liebfried said. Because of him, we were actually able to continue just as strong as ever. For Wagner, the work isn't done. He hopes to grow membership enough that the organization can eventually begin handing out $15,000 checks. It's an attainable goal, he said. He knows there are plenty of men out there like him who want to make their community a better place. The biggest thing I have learned is there are people out there who are looking to give back, but there may not be an easy way to facilitate that, Wagner said. I want to make it as easy as possible and fun as possible for them to do that. To join or learn more about 100 Plus Men Who Care, Tri-State Area, go to https://www.100mendbq.com/.
Volunteer chef spreads holiday cheer at the Dubuque shelter. Donning a simmering ruby and silver skirt, a green sequin Santa hat, and a polar bear stockings, her appearance betrayed that of a helper elf. She brought the group the getup at Walmart 2 years ago, but I still love it, she said, with a big grin. A triquetic tattoo on her shoulder added a Celtic flair. It also happens to be one of the four symbols used by the rock band Led Zeppelin in a 1971 album cover. Shirley Sanchez, 59, who goes by her spiritual name, Miss Shadow, is a former headbanger with a taste for mod. But on Saturday at the Dubuque Rescue Mission, she was a chef and a hostess. Christmas should be a thing you do every day, every year, Sanchez told the crowd of 20 men who gathered at the homeless shelter for a holiday breakfast. It's a spirit of giving of yourself unselfishly and showing true caring and love for one another. She stretched out her hands toward the tables in a gesture of welcome. In the spirit of Christmas, breakfast will start in 10 minutes, Sanchez said. The men lined up to grab trays, which he loaded with waffles, berries, whipped cream, and sticky syrup. Sanchez also prepared seasoned eggs, crispy bacon, greasy hash browns, and cheesy grits. In the 1980s, Sanchez lived in California, where she modeled and acted. She learned to hang glide and climbed up the Hollywood sign. She moved to Dubuque 10 years ago from Spring Lake, North Carolina, to be closer to family as her health declined. Sanchez said doctors gave her 2 months to live after diagnosing her with breast cancer. I'm still here, kicking and screaming, she said. The volunteer has been assisting the Dubuque Rescue Mission for 3 years and also helps at the Resources Unite and the Salvation Army. Sanchez fluttered with the ebullience of a butterfly from the hot oven to the buffet line, periodically mouthing the words to Love is a Battlefield and Bossy, which boomed over a portable speaker Sanchez brought. Brian Rooney, 47, carried his tray back to the table to eat. He chewed quietly. Christmas reminds him of his daughter, whom he misses. He keeps presents he wants to give her, a light-up Santa music box, and stuffed animals. But he said the girl's mother won't let him because he uses drugs. Rooney struggles with an addiction. I want to get off, he said. But Rooney lacks transportation to travel to a treatment center in Rockford, Illinois. He lives underneath a heated parking ramp near a Dubuque fire station. I have blankets, pillows, covers. It's comfortable, Rooney said. As an abuse survivor, Sanchez says she can relate to the trauma experienced by people who are homeless. I choose to use it as a learning tool, she said. So long as she has the energy to assist others, Sanchez said she hopes to spread blessings. My feeling is, if you bless others, you'll eventually be blessed. I judge no one.
This is an editorial. Supervisors must address dysfunction. When the Telegraph Herald editorial board endorsed Republican Harley Potthoff for his bid to join the Dubuque County Board of Supervisors last year, we did so with the hope that adding a newcomer to the three-person board would provide a much-needed recalibration and restore some civility. But after hearing Supervisor Ann McDonough rail this past week about her treatment on the board, clearly, no such transformation has happened. While the supervisors managed to address the county's business with relative effectiveness, the interpersonal dynamics on the board are utterly dysfunctional. Things need to change. McDonough, on Monday, accused fellow supervisor Jay Wickham of a pattern of harassing, insulting, and belittling her for years. The two Democratic supervisors regularly clash during discussions at meetings, but McDonough says the issues go beyond that, calling it harassment and an attempt to diminish her role. Wickham dismissed the accusations as unjust attacks and implied that it was McDonough who, at a recent closed session meeting, was screaming and throwing papers. What are we doing here, people? The dysfunction has been on display at meetings for years. When McDonough joined the board in 2018, her comments and questions were often ignored, with Wickham and then Supervisor Dave Baker, also a Democrat, proceeding to vote without addressing her concerns and sometimes without even a comment. It was witnessing that sort of disrespect and lack of decorum that compelled Potthoff to run for a seat on the board. Since then, there has been a broader discussion before voting, but Potthoff agrees that there have been comments that he considered inappropriate. McDonough even raised the specter of the county being legally liable for Wickham's toxic behavior. Enough. If supervisors are unable to conduct themselves in a civil manner, talk through differences, and refrain from snide comments, they have no business serving in public office. That should be the bare minimum expected from all members of this board. Screaming and throwing papers in closed session is no way to act either. The board's current chairwoman, McDonough, suggested that Potthoff step into the role of board chairman, and we wholeheartedly agree. As such, he could change the tone and tenor of the meetings and make sure that all voices are heard. He could call out and shut down inappropriate comments. Potthoff's 30-year career in law enforcement should serve him well in diffusing contentious situations. Wickham and McDonough will both be up for re-election in 2022. That gives them several months to actively engage in improving board dynamics. If that doesn't happen, voters can decide whether this slate of supervisors is the best representation for Dubuque County.
We turn to the obituaries. Coletta A. McDermott, 105, of Dubuque, Iowa, formerly of Epworth, Iowa, passed away peacefully surrounded by her family on Wednesday, December 22nd, at the Stonehill Care Center in Dubuque, Iowa. Visitation for Colette will be held from 12 to 2 p.m. on Monday, December 27th, at the Reef Funeral Home in Epworth, Iowa. Family requests that everyone in attendance please wear a mask to attend the visitation and funeral mass. Mass of Christian burial for Coletta will be held at 2 p.m. on Monday, December 27th, at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Epworth, Iowa, with the Reverend Scott Boone presiding. Burial will follow in St. Patrick's Cemetery. Coletta, along with her identical twin sister Clara, were born on August 5th, 1916, in Bellevue, on the family farm, the daughter of John and Mary Dentworth Hoffman. Coletta and Clara were very proud to be identical twin sisters and to have both lived to be over 100 years old. She received her education in the Bellevue schools. On May 9, 1939, she was united in marriage to Donald Benny McDermott at the Nativity Catholic Church in Dubuque. He preceded her in death on July 17, 1994. The couple owned and operated Benny's Tap in Epworth. Coletta was a loving and devoted mother, grandmother, great and great-great-grandmother. She had a way of spoiling all her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and making them feel special. She was the glue that held the family together all these years. She was a selfless and giving person who would help anyone in need that crossed her path. She was a great chef and a gardener, and used her skills and plentiful harvest to feed her family and people in time of need at the Depression, up till the time she was 98 years young. She had a great love for music and enjoyed playing the piano, and did so since she was a young girl. As an adult, she went on to enjoy big band music with her husband, as they went to several ballrooms around the area and won awards from the Crystal Ballroom. She was a devoted Catholic member of St. Patrick's Parish and the Altar and Rosary Society. She is survived by three sons, Patrick Marva McDermott of Keyser, Oregon, Bernard Buzz Mary McDermott of Dubuque, Terry Connolly McDermott of Dubuque, six daughters, Donna Patrick Smith, Sharon Dave Reardon, both of Dubuque, Mary Jerry McDermott, Windard of Asbury, Bonnie Neil Grotto of Nubiana, Derby Brockenforth of Epworth, and Rhonda Tongato of Epworth. 19 grandchildren, 45 great-grandchildren, and 4 great-great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents, one son, James McDermott, one daughter, Margaret Peggy Ganson, a son-in-law, Jerry Forkenbrock, a great-grandson, Nick, brothers and sisters, Joe, Alan, Rosella, Luella, and Dolly. The family would like to thank Dr. Moran, Dr. Viner, and the staff at the Riverbend Community Center.
Helene M. Auld, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Helene Mary Auld, RN, age 93, a longtime resident of Monticello and Cedar Rapids, passed away on Wednesday, December 22, 2021. Helene was born in Hancock, Michigan, on September 14, 1928, the firstborn child of Mary Latvis and Stanley Bills. After completing high school in Hancock, Michigan, she graduated from St. Elizabeth Hospital School of Nursing as a registered nurse. Later in life, she went back to school and obtained her Bachelor of Nursing from the University of Dubuque. She worked as a registered nurse at various hospitals in Illinois, Indiana, and Pennsylvania before she relocated to Dubuque, Iowa, and spent many years in the emergency room at Mercy Hospital. She retired from Northeast Iowa Technical Institute as a nursing instructor, where she had a positive impact on the careers of many nurses. Helene met her husband, Sam, doing one of her favorite activities, dancing. He was an Arthur Murray dance instructor, and she was his student. They married in 1953 in Crown Point, Indiana, and spent the next 63 years together, raising 5 children. She was a longtime member of the Congenial 100 Dance Club and regularly attended dance events into her 90s. After retiring, Helene and Sam were avid cruise ship patrons, taking annual trips with their dancing friends. She was a woman of devout faith in God and a member of the Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Monticello before moving to Cedar Rapids and joining St. Matthew's. Helene loved to read, tend to her flowers and yard, and could shovel snow like no one else. She was a loving mother and Nana who will be greatly missed by her family. She is survived by her 5 children, David M., Jill Watros Auld of Des Moines, Iowa, Stuart T. Auld of Dubuque, Iowa, Philip J. Auld of Anamosa, Iowa, Adam B. Dehan Auld of Greensboro, North Carolina, Samantha R., Tim Towlerton of Scottsdale, Arizona, and 6 grandchildren, and 1 brother, Paul Patricia Bonini. She was preceded in death by her husband, Samuel M. Auld, 1 grandson, Alex Auld, 3 sisters, Sophie, Robert, Soka, Patricia, Donald, Hine, and Pauline Drodzinski, and one brother, James Dolores Builds. A memorial mass and brunch will be held after the new year. Danny R. Birch, Jr. Danny R. Birch, Jr., 34, of Dubuque, died on Sunday, December 19, 2021. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, December 28th at Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road.
Richard V. Schroman. Richard Rick Schroman, age 43, of Cuba City, Wisconsin, passed away unexpectedly at 7:20 p.m. on Wednesday, December 22, 2021, at his home. To celebrate Rick's life, family and friends may visit from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. on Tuesday, December 28, at the Immaculate Conception Church in Keeler, Wisconsin. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. on Tuesday at the church, with the Reverend Bernard E. Rott officiating. Burial will be at a later date following cremation in the Immaculate Conception Cemetery in Keeler. Bear Funeral Home is assisting the family. Rick was born on July 7, 1978, in Dubuque, son of Vincent Bill and Deborah Debbie Schleingild Schroman. Rick graduated from Southwestern High School in Hazel Green. He was currently employed with the Thompson Truck and Trailer in the parts department. Rick was his dad's best friend. When it was discovered that Rick had been suffering with type 1 diabetes and then learned how to manage it, is when he finally found his way. His love for riding the ATV trails and belonging to the clubs became his passion. Rick knew that he had to take care of his health, so with a snap of a finger, he pushed away all the unhealthy. For example, he never had another sip of alcohol again. He was witty, charming, quiet, and loved his family fiercely. He loved teasing his cousins and grandma. He loved his brother Jesse and was in awe of the wonderful person Jesse married, Kelsey. His heart turned all soft when it came to his nieces and nephews. We started to do all the what ifs, etc., but ultimately the good Lord had a plan for him and for us. Forever our hearts will hurt, but the love that family and friends have shown us has brought us the comfort needed to somewhat make this bearable. Love is too small a word to describe our feelings for you, Rick. Rest in peace. Those left to cherish Rick's memory include his parents, Bill and Debbie Schroman, of Keeler, Wisconsin, his brother, Jesse Kelsey Schroman, of Gilbert, Arizona, his nieces and nephews, his maternal grandmother, Patricia Mulville Keeler, and several aunts and uncles. He was preceded in death by his paternal grandparents, Vincent, Richard, and Ruth Schroman, his maternal grandfathers, Mark Mulvihill and James Shilgin, and his godfather, Philip Schroman. The family will gratefully receive your support through phone calls, greeting cards, and memorials in Rick's memory, which may be mailed to the Bear Funeral Home.
Leroy Wiedemann, Jr. Leroy Butch Wiedemann, Jr., 83, of Dubuque, died Saturday, December 18, 2021, at home. Leroy was born on January 28, 1938, the son of Leroy and Lucille Wiedemann, Sr. He married Lois Opelt on October 10, 1959. Leroy was a fun-loving and hard-working man who dedicated his life to helping others. He was a faithful man with a long-standing relationship with God. Leroy was known for his witty jokes and contagious smile. He will be dearly missed by his family and friends. Leroy is survived by his loving wife Lois, daughters Anne, Leif, Hagen, and Carolyn George Dodd, sisters Joan Loney and Mary Jim Tarzinski, and sisters-in-law Diane Shar and Pat Opelt. He was a proud grandpa to his grandchildren. A private celebration of life will be held in spring.
William E. McCoy of Marion, Idaho. Dr. William E. McCoy, 89, of Marion, Iowa, formerly of St. Catherine and Dubuque, passed away suddenly due to a cardiac event on December 6, 2021. Burial, funeral, celebration of life will be held at a later date. Bill was born on February 17, 1932, in Los Angeles, the son of Bernard and Bernice McCoy. In 1934, the family returned to Dubuque. Bill's education was at Loras Academy and College and the University of Iowa College of Dentistry. He met and married Margaret Ressler on February 2, 1957, in Iowa City. She preceded him in death in July of 2015. After serving a tour of duty in the U.S. Navy, Bill opened dental practice in Dubuque with an emphasis on children's dentistry, retiring in 2007. Maggie and Bill were blessed with 9 children. Along with the dental practice and a growing active family, all were kept busy tending crops and cattle on their country acreage. Bill put his heart and soul into the farm for many decades and loved the serenity of the countryside. Gathering logs and chopping or bending cords of firewood to heat their home kept him active and young. Bill was always there for those in the community and would drop whatever he was doing to help someone in need, whether to pull someone out of a ditch, overturn a tractor, help clear a tree that came down in a storm. "That's what neighbors do for neighbors," he said. Bill's adventures and accomplishments are legendary. His joy was solving problems or inventing a means to accomplish a task. From his mammoth railroad tie retainer walls to a nearly 20-foot tall water slide, Bill's construction projects were built to last forever and beyond. Bill was an avid Iowa Hawkeye and Green Bay Packers fan. He had a passion for military history and was a voracious reader of such. He took great interest in what other people did and truly made one feel welcome and that they were always part of the family, and he could tell a story. He even said he was long-winded, but we loved him for that. In a conversation concerning his defeat of cancer many years ago, he said, "Well, it was one of those things. I just didn't have time to die." That sums up how wild Willie McCoy lived. He laughed a lot, enjoyed life, and as usual, worked until the end. Those left to cherish his memory are children, Tammy Fondale of Sitka, Arkansas, Kevin Liz of Palmer Lake, Colorado, Shelley Jeff Umritz of Mystic, Connecticut, Jeff Jean of Cashton, Wisconsin, Molly Brian Oman of Sequim, Washington, Becky Mike Schulte of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and Lisa Schroeder of Cedar Rapids, daughter-in-law Jackie McCoy, sister-in-law Janie McCoy, brothers Rob of Dubuque and Jim of Piasta, along with many grand and great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents, son Anthony at birth, son Michael, son-in-law Chris Fondle, brother John, and sister-in-law Mary Ann, brother David, sister Mary, and brother-in-law Dick Caro and Floyd Benquin.
Jean?
You are listening to the Dubuque Telegraph Herald on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Information Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped. Your reader is Bernadette
Lois.
If you have any comments on this or on any IRIS program, please call 243-6833 or toll free at 877-404-4747. And don't forget, this and many other IRIS programs are available from our website at theiowaradioreading.org. And now we return to the Telegraph Herald.
Jean A. Steger. Jean Ann Janann Steger, 85, of Dubuque, Iowa, passed away Sunday, December 19, 2021, at home. Visitation will be from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Monday, December 27th, at Hegelhoff, Siegert & Casper Funeral Home and Crematory, 2659 John F. Kennedy Road, Dubuque, where there will be a prayer service at 6:30 p.m. Masks are optional. Mass of Christian burial will be at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, December 28th, at St. Joseph the Worker Catholic Church, 2001 St. Joseph Street, Dubuque. Reverend Dustin Vu will officiate. Interment will be in Mount Calvary Cemetery. Jean was born May 14, 1936, in Balltown, Iowa, the daughter of Anthony, Tony, and Mildred Link Jager. She graduated from St. Joseph's Academy in 1954. Jean married Sylvester M. Mike Steger on August 24, 1957, at St. Francis Catholic Church, Balltown. He preceded her in death on May 2, 2004. Jean was employed at the Dubuque Packing Company until her marriage, and she later worked at the University of Dubuque until her health declined. Jean was a member of St. Joseph the Worker Catholic Church. Some of her simple pleasures in life included spending time with her family and grandchildren, family vacations, watching the Bulls, Hawkeyes, and Vikings, going shopping, baking, and taking long walks until her health declined. Jean also enjoyed playing with her favorite cat, Molly. Jean is survived by four children: Kurt Michelle Steger of Columbus, Ohio; Tim Jelaine Steger; Kevin Steger; and Laurie Mike Lenstra, all of Dubuque. Eight grandchildren. Her great-granddaughter and another great-granddaughter due to arrive in January. Her brother Jerome, Donna Mae Jager of Dubuque. Her sister Ruth O'Toole of Dubuque. And her brother-in-law, Gary Summers of Findlay, Ohio. In addition to her husband, Jean is preceded in death by an infant son, Gary, in November of 1958, and infant granddaughter Jennifer Steger in 1990. Her parents, two sisters, Iola Anthony Kerper and Mary Summers, and her brother-in-law, Larry O'Toole. The family would like to thank her son, Kevin, for his selfless, devoted care of Jean that allowed her to remain in her home. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the family.
Tracy L. Eady. Tracy Eady, 47, of Dubuque, passed away on Sunday, December 19, 2021. Visitation will be from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, December 28, at the Egelhoff, Siegert, and Casper Funeral Home and Crematory on JFK Road in Dubuque. Services will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday, December 29th, at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on Freeman Avenue. Dubuque interment will be private. Condolences may be shared at the Egelhoff, Siegert, and Casper website. Tracy was born on August 28, 1974, in Dubuque. She attended Hempstead High School with the class of 1992. Tracy served as the executive director of the St. Vincent de Paul Society on Radford Road for 27 years. She was an active member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where she loved being part of the church community. She enjoyed travel and shopping and loved to cook family dinner for her children. She was a devoted Packer fan and dearly loved her dogs, especially her Chihuahua, Zeus. Tracy was always looking for ways to help other people. Empathy and compassion were two of her strongest traits. Her door was always open to those in need. She was a very devoted mother, aunt, family person. Tracy will be sadly missed by all who knew her. She is survived by her son, Zachary, Jen LeBee, of Edie Asbury, her daughter, Adriana Garrett Welter Geisler, of Dubuque, her foster son, Blake, Tanya Welter, and her daughter, Elena Anderson, of Dubuque, her granddaughter, Audrey Edie, her mother, Deborah Ken Lester, of Epworth, her father, Mike Mary Jean Edie, of Dubuque, her siblings, Tina Todd Priest, and their children, Tristan and Trinity, of Dubuque, Jacob April Moyer, and their children, General and Kafani, of San Francisco, California, John Natalie Lester, and their children, Della and Elena, of Kansas City, and Lester and their children, Delia and Elena. Also Cheyenne, William Hauger, and the baby on the way of Dyersville, and many close aunts, uncles, and cousins. Tracy was preceded in death by her paternal grandparents, Giles and Virginia Eddy, and her maternal grandparents, Laverne and Audrey Kinsel. Memorials may be made to the family. Fly high, our dearest Tracy. Your legacy will live forever through your kids and your family. We'll never let your little angel Isles forget you.
Lisa A. Hansen. Lisa A. Hansen, 63, of Hazel Green, Wisconsin, passed away on Tuesday, December 21, 2021, at UW-Madison Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin. A memorial service will be held at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, December 28, at the Hawden Shield Funeral Home and Cremation Services in Cuba City, Wisconsin, with Pastor Gus Barnes officiating. A private family burial will be held at a later date. Family and friends may call on Tuesday, December 28th from 5 p.m. until the time of service at the Hawden Shield Funeral Home and Cremation Service in Cuba City. Due to current health and safety guidelines for gatherings indoors, all attendees are asked to wear a mask and to follow social distancing guidelines. The Hawden Shield Funeral Home and Cremation Services in Cuba City is serving the family. Lisa was born on September 12, 1958, to Clarence and Catherine Womack Sandry in Cuba City, Wisconsin. She graduated from Southwestern High School in Hazel Green, Wisconsin. She married Charles Chuck Hansen on July 23, 1977, in Hazel Green. She retired from Land's End Clothing Manufacturer in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. Lisa enjoyed day trips to wineries, the occasional Bloody Mary, video slots, the Home Shopping Network, 60s and 70s music, cooking, baking, feeding her hummingbirds, an avid Green Bay Packer fan, and best known for her sense of humor, but most of all, she enjoyed time spent with her family and friends. She will be sadly missed by all who knew and loved her. Lisa is survived by her loving husband of 44 years, Charles, two daughters, Tammy, Alberto Rivera of Branson, Missouri, and Heather Jacob Beagle of Hazel Green, a granddaughter, three sisters, Catherine Bruce Miller of Hazel Green, Christine George Lewis of Benton, Wisconsin, and Teresa Sandry of Edinburgh, Texas, a brother, Rodney Sandry of Arizona, along with many nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her parents and three brothers, Jerry, Jake, Donald, and Arthur. In lieu of plants and flowers, a Lisa A. Hansen Memorial Fund has been established. Memorials may be mailed to Hawden Shield Funeral Home, care of Lisa Hansen Family, Box 825, Cuba City, Wisconsin. Online condolences may be left for the family at www.hawdenshieldfuneralhome.com. Michael R. Zicker. Michael R. Mike Zicker, 58, of Dubuque, died on Monday, December 20th, 2021. Visitation will be held from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday, January 8th, at St. Peter Lutheran Church, where a memorial service will follow. Tri-State Cremation Center of East Dubuque, Illinois, is assisting the family. Raymond L. Kerpes. Raymond L. Kerpes, 86, of Dubuque, died on Friday, December 17th, 2021. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, January 7th, at Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road. Services will be held at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, January 8th, at the funeral home. Jaquetta L. Schmiedeskamp. Jaquetta L. Jack Schmiedeskamp, 71, of Dubuque, died on Sunday, December 19th, 2021. Private family services will be held. Tri-State Cremation Center of East Dubuque, Illinois, is assisting the family.
Leonard G. Manders, 85, of Bellevue, Iowa, passed away on Tuesday, December 21st, at Mercy One Hospital in Dubuque. Family will greet friends from 4 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, December 28th, at the Hockman Meyer Funeral Home and Cremation Service in Bellevue. The funeral mass will be 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, December 29th, 2021, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Bellevue. Additional visitation will be from 9 to 10 a.m. prior to the mass at the funeral home on Wednesday. Burial with military honors conducted by the Bellevue American Legion Post 273 will be in St. Joseph's Catholic Cemetery. Leonard was born on October 6, 1936, the son of Chris and Veronica Klassen Manders. He graduated from St. Joseph's Catholic High School in 1954. Leonard married Darlene Teresa Zahini on May 9, 1959. She passed on January 9th of 2015. He served his country in the Army National Guard. He was also known by everyone in the Guard Battalion as Lenny. Lenny worked for the Clinton Engines and then for John Deere Dubuque Works. After 30 years, he semi-retired. He drove the Bellevue school bus for the next 10. The children loved him. He was a member of St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Knights of Columbus, and the American Legion Post 273 in Bellevue. He drove the ambulance and served on many committees. Leonard enjoyed spending time with his family and siblings. He will be truly missed by all who knew and loved him. Survivors include his children, Roxanne Mick Steglow, Chris Renee Manders, Sheila Brian Ford, and Mark Tammy Manders, 8 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren, siblings Dorothy Donald Michaels, Barb Marshall, Darla Jerry Clinton, Pat Dosslin, Ruth Jerry Marshalls, and Wayne Manders, numerous nieces and nephews. Leonard was preceded in death by his parents, his wife, a grandson, Nico Steklow, and 2 brother-in-laws, Joe Marshall and Olin Dorson. A memorial fund has been established in Lenin's memory. Online condolences may be expressed to the funeral at the Hoffman Funeral website.
Jerry L. Newman. Jerry L. Newman, 76, of Cuba City, Wisconsin, died Tuesday, December 21st, 2021, at home. Services will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, December 29th, 2021, at the Primitive Methodist Church, New Diggins, Wisconsin, with Reverend Bill Vasey officiating. Services will be live streamed through Facebook on the funeral homepage. Burial will be in the Benton Red Church Cemetery, Benton, Wisconsin. A public visitation for family and friends will be held from 4 to 8 p.m. Tuesday at Casey McNett Funeral Home and Cremation Services in Cuba City. Friends may also call from 9 to 10:45 Wednesday at the church before the service. Jerry was born on February 18, 1945, in Howardon, Iowa, the son of Keith and Blanche Simmons Newman. He married Mary McCauley on September 16, 1967, at the Primitive Methodist Church in Benton. She preceded him in death on June 18, 2018. Jerry was friendly and welcoming to everyone he met. He was a great storyteller, a jack-of-all-trades, and lover of many genres of music, especially country and the oldies. He loved spending time with his brothers. They were often caught laughing and joking around together. Jerry had connected with the church and was passionate about his faith. Survivors include a daughter, Robin Tim McCaig of West Bend, Wisconsin, a son, Travis L. Jody Newman of Odenton, Maryland, three brothers, Richard, Kathy Newman, Grand Forks, North Dakota, Denny, Donna Newman, Glenwood, Iowa, and Brad Jane Newman, Willow Park, Texas, five grandchildren. He was also preceded in death by his parents. In lieu of flowers, a Jerry L. Newman Memorial Fund has been established, and donations will be made to the Benton Red Church. Online condolences for the family may be left at www.caseymcnett.com.
Eldon B. Himes of Manchester, Iowa. Eldon Bernard Himes, 85, of Manchester, Iowa, passed away on Thursday, December 23, 2021, at his home, surrounded by his family. Survivors include his wife of 59 years, Katie Helms of Manchester, children, Ralph Himes of Manchester, Dwayne Carlin Himes of Manchester, Melvin Mary Himes of Dyersville, Gina Mike Ruth of Manchester, Joyce Greg Harris of Dubuque, Jereen Ed Gibbs of Earlville, Dale Michelle Himes of Delhi, and son-in-law Randy Burkle of Earlville. 19 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren, 1 brother, Laura Celeste Himes of Dundee, 1 sister, Yvonne Ted of Wormhound, Iowa City, and a sister-in-law, Mary Himes of Manchester. Online condolences may be sent to the www.leonardmullerfuneralhome.com. Because of COVID-19 concerns, masks are recommended at the church. Mass of Christian burial at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, December 31st, 2021, at St. John Catholic Church in Delhi, with the Reverend John Kramer officiating. Visitation from 2 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, December 30th, at St. John Catholic Church in Delhi. Friends may also call from 9:15 to 10:15 at the church on Friday. Interment with military rites at the St. John Catholic Cemetery in Delville, Iowa. Dolores C. Eggers, 98, of Andrew, Iowa, died on Thursday, December 23, 2021. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, December 29th, and from noon to 1 p.m. on Thursday, December 30th, at the Hockman Meyer Funeral Home and Cremation Service in Bellevue. Mass will be held at 1:30 p.m. Thursday at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Bellevue.
Funeral services. Vincent A. Dolphin, Cascade, Iowa. Visitation, 2 to 5 p.m. Monday, December 27th, Reeve Funeral Home, Cascade, and 9 to 11 a.m. Tuesday, December 28th, St. Martin's Catholic Church, Cascade. Mass of Christian Burial, 11 a.m. Tuesday at the church. Douglas R. Eck, Platteville, Wisconsin. Visitation, 9 to 11:30 a.m. Tuesday, December 28th, Martin Schwartz Funeral Home and Crematory, Lancaster. Service, 11:30 a.m. Tuesday at the funeral home. Teresa L. Henkes, Guttenberg, Iowa. Visitation, 9 to 11 a.m. Monday, December 27th, St. Patrick Catholic Church, Monona, Iowa. Service, 11 a.m. Monday at the church. Charles Jameson, Lancaster, Wisconsin. Service, 10:30 a.m., Monday, December 27th, Burns Cemetery, B-Town Township, Wisconsin. Ellen L. Krapfel, New Vienna, Iowa. Visitation, 3 to 7 p.m. today and 9 to 9:45 a.m. Monday, December 27th, Kramer Funeral Home, Dyersville, Iowa. Services, 10:30 a.m. Monday, St. Boniface Catholic Church, New Vienna.
Robert A. Myers of Luxembourg, Iowa. Visitation from 3 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, December 29th, and 9 to 10 a.m. Thursday, December 30th, at the Kramer Funeral Home, Holy Cross, Iowa. Service at 10:30 a.m. Thursday at the Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Luxembourg. Doris J. Neiman, Asbury, Iowa. Visitation from 1 to 2 p.m. on Tuesday, December 28th. Comanche Chapel, Snellzorg Funeral Home and Crematory. Graveside service at 2:15 p.m. Tuesday at the Rose Hill Cemetery, Comanche. Celebration of Life, 3 to 4:30 p.m. Tuesday at the Candlelight Restaurant in Clinton. Kenneth Rashi, Cassville, Wisconsin. Visitation, 9 to 11:30 a.m., Tuesday, December 28th, at the St. Charles Catholic Church, Cassville. Mass of Christian Burial, 11:30 a.m., Thursday, at the church. And Irene Selensky, Dubuque. Visitation, 9 to 11 a.m. on Monday, December 27th. Hoffman Schneider and Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory on Asbury Road. Service, 11 a.m. Monday at the funeral home.
Railway merger could spike area train traffic. Railroad tracks cut through the heart of Bellevue, Iowa, practically splitting the city in two. When a train passes through the small community, motorists wait patiently to cross from one side of the city to the other. For now, the number of trains that pass through Bellevue each day is manageable. However, a potential merger between two major rail lines could dramatically increase that count, and local officials are concerned about its potential impact. "Our greatest concern is for the safety of residents," said Bellevue City Administrator Abby Griseth. "We don't want a situation where the traffic becomes too bottlenecked and emergency crews get stuck on one side of the track." Canadian Pacific Railway, which operates rail lines that run through Bellevue, Dubuque, and Guttenberg, Iowa, is in the midst of acquiring another major railway, Kansas City Southern, in a deal valued at $31 million. The merger still requires approval by the Federal Surface Transportation Board, which is reviewing the proposal. A decision is not expected until late next year. If approved, the merger likely would greatly increase train traffic on the line that runs from Sebula to Marquette in eastern Iowa and through Bellevue, Dubuque, and Guttenberg.
The former Shopko building to be raised for development. A Dubuque property that formerly housed a big box retailer soon will be leveled to make way for future development. The former Shopko building, located at 255 John F. Kennedy Road, will be demolished this winter, confirmed Cafaro County spokesman Joe Bell. We will probably proceed with demolition within the next month, he said. It's a very good location. And from a real estate development standpoint, the land itself is more valuable at this point than the building. The structure largely has been vacant since Shopko closed its doors in the summer of 2019. Shopko Optical also operated within that structure and moved out later in the same year. Cafaro Company, which owns the Shopko property, has explored multiple options for the site in recent years. Bell said a local company offering professional services would likely would construct a new location at the site once the building has been demolished. He emphasized that he cannot provide specifics on the company because the deal has not yet been finalized. In addition to welcoming this company to the site, Cafaro Company anticipates the construction of a second structure within the former footprint of the Shopko building. This brings us to the end of today's reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Monday, December 27th. I'm your reader, Bernadette.
And Lois.
And thanks for listening.